Welcome to Wealth Map Radio, where we chart a course through the chaos of retirement planning, market movements, and financial independence with a healthy dose of clarity and caffeine. We don't just talk about money, we decode it. That's why Wealth Map Radio is designed to be your GPS for retirement, helping you avoid financial potholes, risky cliffs, and the detours that can derail your long-term goals. We break down real-life challenges retirees actually face and how to navigate them with confidence. We're believing and having a plan that is built to last. That's where our Compass Report comes in. It includes real-world tools like the Color of Money Risk Analysis, Social Security Maximization Report, Tax Scorecard, and the Retirement Buffer Analysis, all designed to give you direction and peace of mind. For us, RETIRE is an acronym for Retirement, Estate, Taxes, Income, Risk, and Enjoyment. So whether you're navigating market twists, wondering if your nest egg will actually hatch, or trying to figure out why your money disappears faster than leftovers at a family barbecue, stick around. We'll cut through the noise, drop some wisdom, and share a few laughs along the way. Now buckle up, because here on Wealth Map Radio, financial freedom is the destination, and every step along the trail is full of purpose and intent. All righty, everybody, welcome to Wealth Map Radio today. We are going to go through five core principles of retirement income planning. You're going to want to buckle up for this, take notes and the like. As this week kind of progressed, and as Steve and I were talking, Steve Eckroth, who is the founder and principal of Whispering Brook Financial, as he and I met together this week, kind of talking about what the show would go over, we kind of talked about the things that he is seeing in the practice that he and his team are seeing more and more of. And as they meet with you, and many of you have gone in to meet with them, one of the things he mentioned that he sees often is the need for resilient income planning. And what he hears a lot, apparently, is that people believe the same strategies that they use to accumulate wealth, that they can just continue to do that when they start to distribute wealth or use the money to live on during retirement. And this is a fallacy. It's one of the things out there that I know a lot of people assume is the case, but it's simply a very different ball game when you start to retire, when you hit that retirement red zone. Again, we talked about this last week, that 4 to 5 year period, both before and after retirement, the strategies must change. And so we share this analogy a lot. If you're climbing mountain climbing and things like that, where do most accidents, including fatalities, happen? By a ratio of 4 to 1, most accidents in mountain climbing happen on the descent, on the way down. In the world of retirement, preparation and planning, ascending the mountain is when you're accumulating your wealth. That is not nearly as dangerous as when you start to go back down. After you've already reached the top, you celebrate and everything like that, and then it's time to go back home or down the mountain, the descent. This is the decumulation or distribution phase of your wealth when you start living on it. Just like in mountain climbing, I don't know what the actual ratio here is, but in mountain climbing, it's a 4 to 1 ratio of accidents occurring on the descent versus the ascent. In the world of retirement planning, income planning, this is indeed by far, by orders of magnitude, where retirees make a mistake and sometimes irreparably harm their retirement income outlook. So this is something Steve wanted to cover and came up with five core principles of retirement income planning, which is where we will spend our focus. First, though, let's do this. A little bit of housekeeping. The company is Whispering Brook Financial. The phone number is 484-600-6512, 484-600-6512. And the website here for the radio show is wealthmapradio.com. And we encourage you to visit us there. For the first seven today, we're giving away a free copy of David McKnight's best-selling book called The Volatility Shield. And I think you'll find that book highly entertaining, as well as educational, and very appropriate for what we're going to go into here today. So again, that's the first seven to set up your free visit with us. You will also get your Compass Report, that great analysis, the before and the after, showing you what might be possible for you in your situation. We do that compass report complimentary when you're one of the first seven. 484-600-6512 or wealthmapradio.com. All right, let's run straight into it. Five core principles of retirement income planning. Number one, prioritize predictability over possibility. How's that for being a little catchy? Sometimes you hear us say value predictability over potential. This is a different way of saying it. Number one, prioritize predictability over possibility. Yes, growth does matter, but reliable cash flow matters more once you cross into that distribution phase or the distribution years. And last week, we spent a lot of time on this, what we called the retirement red zone, which are the 4 to 5 years before and after you first retire. And now a good, resilient portfolio can handle occasional shocks to the system where we have severe drawdowns or negative periods, things like that. However, if those shocks to the system happen in that retirement red zone, recovery from them becomes much more tenuous, if possible at all. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why we cannot fumble during the retirement red zone. This is why prioritizing predictability over possibility, especially when you are near or just have just begun retirement, is critical. I cannot overstate this enough. Retirement is often won and lost by the predictability and consistency of your returns early on. Predictability is much more valuable to you than possibility or potential. Now, this dives a little bit into that sequence of return risk discussion, which is one of the most misunderstood and even shrugged at risks by retirees and advisors alike. Sequence of return risk means that when returns happen is far more important than how much the average long-term return is. In other words, let me translate that. A stable 5% portfolio return does and can often beat a volatile 8% portfolio return from a cash flow and longevity standpoint if that 8% portfolio is extremely volatile, especially early on. So the key idea here is that retirement is about predictable cash flow, not portfolio possibilities. So that's number one, prioritize predictability over potential. Number two, minimize taxes because they are the most persistent and often largest fee in retirement. For most retirees, especially those that have followed the defer model of tax planning like you're taught, taxes are an ongoing, often increasing, not decreasing, increasing drain on retirement income. And it's not just about the taxes on a particular account or portfolio. IRMA surcharges on Medicare, Social Security taxation. These two things are collateral damage. Often they are voluntary taxes. You also have RMDs, which is forced usage. That can really mess you up from a tax perspective. State taxes, all those things combined, can easily consume 20 to 40% of the gross withdrawals from your traditional retirement accounts if unmanaged. And the defer or procrastinate taxes as long as you can type of advice that many advisors spew and many retirees adhere to is not planning. It's sticking the head in the sand. So instead, consider tax-efficient retirement income planning. Consider strategic Roth conversions. Consider life insurance retirement plans that are properly structured. Consider turning tax-deferred gains into tax-free gains if long-term care needs happen. And talking about shocks to the system, long-term care expenses can be a severe shock to the system. When done right, your income sources should not cause collateral tax damage on your Social Security or Medicare premiums or long-term capital gains, and unfortunately qualified accounts like IRAs and 401ks are notorious for doing that. But our message is and has been, it does not have to be the case with proper retirement income planning. So the principle here on number two, combining strategic withdrawal sequencing, like we're talking about number one, with Roth conversions, LIRPs, or life insurance retirement plans, tax-efficient account selection. These things can add years to a portfolio's longevity, make it more resilient to shocks to the system, not to mention potentially boosting your net income today or in the near term. So that is number two. Minimize taxes, plan for it. Deferring and procrastinating is not a tax plan. If you would like to see how these principles and others might fit into your outlook, into your retirement income planning, if you have questions about how to create multiple streams of tax-free income, of how to insulate yourself from big shocks to the system, such as huge market downturns and things like that that do on occasion come, we invite you today to be one of the first seven to give us a call at Whispering Brook Financial and set up your own free visit. The phone number to do that is 484-600-6512, 484-600-6512, or visit us at wealthmapradio.com. We will give you a copy of David McKnight's best-selling book on this topic called The Volatility Shield, as well as do your compass report for you, completely complimentary. This is an analysis that we are pretty well known for and has helped many people confidently and with more clarity get into retirement and through retirement. 484-600-6512. The third core principle of retirement income planning is choose income accounts that create optionality, not obligations. Every income source out there, guys, has characteristics. Things like being taxable, tax-deferred, tax-free, guaranteed, market-linked, all kind of features surrounding certain events that happen in your life. You want accounts that give control, such as Roth IRAs because they're tax-free, no forced usage, no RMDs, LIRPs or life insurance retirement plans, also tax-free with no RMDs, no impact on Social Security taxation, no impact on IRMA. That's similar to Roth IRAs, but they also have long-term care benefits that often come with it because a life insurance retirement plan has a tax-free term insurance death benefit attached to it that can double as long-term care if needed. Other accounts like buffer are downside protected strategies. These produce more predictable distributions even in bad markets. These things can be like fixed index annuities, laddered CDs, option overlay strategies, buffered notes. There's a lot of different examples here. And also guaranteed income contracts. These are essential to give you at least a floor of your essential expenses in life, including with inflation adjustment, so that no matter what happens out there, you have your needs and maybe a little bit of your wants, nothing wrong with that, guaranteed to be covered throughout your retirement. So the principle here on number three is choose accounts that behave well during withdrawal years or distribution years, not just during accumulation. In other words, you need equipment that helps you get up the mountain and down the mountain, not just up. And that's where so many retirees and even advisors trip and make a mistake. We're going to cover some core examples of this coming up about accounts that create optionality, not obligations. Number four of the core principles of retirement income planning, we need to build an income plan that survives the four big risks. So number four outlays the four big risks. The retirement literature out there, all the studies, the academic papers, the research, it's all clear. There are four statistically predictable risks that retirees face that can destroy financial security if not planned for. Number one, longevity risk, which is you might live longer than your money does. Number two is inflation risk. You could see your spending power go down over the years. Number three is sequence of return risk. bad timing and a bad order of returns, the order in which returns actually come at you, can determine whether or not you fumble the ball at the goal line or actually punch it into the end zone. And number four is tax risk, the risk that future taxes, not just brackets, but taxes overall, likely increase one way or another. I mean, have you seen our national debt lately? Holy cow. The principle here with number four is that when we're designing income streams, they must remain flexible and be resilient as these risks evolve over time. Never has anyone told you that retirement planning, and I'm just going to say retirement income planning, is a short-term endeavor. Your retirement, ladies and gentlemen, can be as long as your professional career or about just as long. Things need to remain flexible. These risks do evolve over time. It is not a set-it-and-forget-it thing. This is why Steve and his team meet with their clients often. You must make course corrections. You must make adjustments. And as much as we talk about the Compass Report, that is a living and breathing dynamic document. It changes as life changes. As risks happen, it changes to adapt. That is the kind of framework you need. And that is why we're talking today, because unfortunately, traditional advice often leaves retirees vulnerable to these four major risks of longevity, inflation, sequence of return, and tax risk. However, if you can successfully address them, have a plan that is flexible to evolve as the risks evolve, guys, we have seen it so many times. Your confidence and clarity spike. Your outlook is more enjoyable, and you face the future with optimism instead of worry. We encourage you to get your Compass Report done. We are doing it complimentary for the first seven today, as well as giving you a free book called The Volatility Shield by David McKnight. See, we want you educated. We want you to know why we do the things we do, why we practice the way we do. So instead of a steak dinner, you know, maybe you'd enjoy that, but we want you to be able to eat well throughout retirement, not just once. Education does that. 484-600-6512, or you can set up your own visit if you'd like at wealthmapradio.com, 484-600-6512. Here we are at number five, the fifth core principle of retirement income planning. It is separate paychecks from playchecks. It is important when you sit down to map out, and it is, first of all, important to sit down and map things out, that you cover your expenses or have a plan to have your expenses and maybe a little bit of your lifestyle too that you'd like to see no matter what covered with guaranteed predictable income sources. Then make a plan to fund discretionary lifestyle with more growth-oriented sources. So if you can kind of bifurcate your retirement budget or needs in that way, we have found that this will create a much greater confidence in your outlook, less uncertainty, stress, and worry. And this is a simple principle that anyone can do. If you don't have enough income, guaranteed income, to cover your lifestyle, what you'd like to have, right? And I'm not talking about the trip to safari to Africa kind of thing. That's going to be covered under the discretionary lifestyle thing. But there's nothing wrong with your basic retirement needs, including eating out every once in a while, taking a trip to see the grandkids every once in a while. I mean, you've worked hard for decades, saved and sacrificed. Make sure your guaranteed income sources do cover your actual hard expenses, those things like keeping the heat on. But there is nothing wrong with having guaranteed income sources cover a little bit of your expected lifestyle as well. Then the truly discretionary things that are truly optional and would be really fun to have kind of idea, those can be covered from much more growth-oriented sources instead of the guaranteed and predictable sources. Again, we're going to get into some examples probably here in the second half of that, and you'll want to stay tuned.
Because what we're actually going to do is look at the traditional 60-40 stock bond portfolio that is the vaunted 60-40 portfolio that everyone talks about, and instead compare that to a bond replacement strategy with a buffer account, and compare how the stock bond portfolio versus a stock buffer account, both in 60-40, 50-50, and 40-60 configuration, performs. So stick around for that. That's a version of the retirement buffer analysis, and one that we haven't done directly, at least here on the show before. All right, so let me review then the five core principles. Here we go. Number one, prioritize predictability over possibility, remembering that retirement is about predictable cash flow, not portfolio possibilities. Number two, minimize taxes and have a plan for that, because they are the most persistent and often largest fee for those in retirement. Number three, choose income accounts that create optionality, not obligations. And the principle on this one, or the main idea here with number three, was make sure you're using accounts that behave well during the distribution years, the descending the mountain kind of idea, not just the accumulation or ascent. The reason that Steve put this one here is because he's hearing a lot of people say lately who've done very well with the accumulation side of their portfolios that, well, I'm just going to keep doing the same old now that I'm in retirement. Huge mistake, huge red flag. Don't do that. You need to understand that most mistakes retirees make happen in that retirement red zone when they first retire in those first 2 years. Either the mistakes happen to them by outside forces that they were ill prepared for, or they trip and make a mistake as they enter a new phase. You cannot rely on the same strategies that got you to the top of the mountain to get you down. It does not work. So the core idea here with choosing income accounts that create optionality, not obligations, is to make sure your accounts behave well during the distribution years, not just the accumulation. Number four of the core principles was build an income plan that survives and is flexible to evolve with the four big risks. That is longevity risk, inflation risk, sequence of return risk, and tax risk. It is not a set it and forget it idea. Retirement income planning does evolve because risks evolve. You evolve. Your needs evolve. The plan that is put in place cannot be rigid or inflexible. It's absolutely true that it must have framework. But remember the beatitude that did not make it into the New Testament, which is, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be bent out of shape. And I'm not trying to be really coy or funny with that, but you get what I'm saying here, because traditional advice around retirement income planning often leaves retirees extremely vulnerable to these and other major risks. And the fifth core principle of retirement income planning is to separate paychecks from playchecks. I'm not sure who coined this phrase, but Tom Hegna, who's an economist, a best-selling author, hosts a TV show called Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And Don't Worry, Retire Happy, that was on PBS. So this is the guy here. He has a book called Paychecks and Playchecks. If you don't have it, I'd consider ordering it. If you would like that one instead of the volatility shield when you call in to set up your visit to get your Compass report done, that's not a problem. Just let us know. 484-600-6512. 484-600-6512. And the website, of course, is always wealthmapradio.com. While I'm right there, I'd invite you to go onto Spotify or Apple or Amazon, wherever you listen to podcasts, and look us up. Just look up Wealth Map Radio, or the name of the company, Whispering Brook Financial, and you'll see these radio shows pop up as podcasts. Now, obviously, these are radio shows first, and we shoot them out to all the different podcast channels, but it's not in a traditional podcast format. But I'd invite you to go there, catch up on some past shows. If you'd, you know, just kind of subscribe and everything, we would greatly appreciate it. We do try very hard to make sure the shows are informational, educational, and relevant, which I think is most important. And while we do share concepts and principles, talking points, like we've been doing for the first half here, you're going to see in the second half, as is very common with the show, that we're going to get into real world, rubber meets the road kind of examples and show you the differences that these principles might make when applied properly in certain situations. Now, of course, the examples we share are not your specific examples. Don't let that bother you. Just follow the concepts and principles. And I know you will see in more than one way that, or how, many of the things we talk about might apply to you. But to see it directly, to see it in action for your own situation, that is where the Compass Report comes into play. Each one is tailored. Each one is personalized. No two Compass Reports are the same. So sometimes when people call, say, yeah, I'd like you to send me my Compass Report, that's not how it works. We meet. We get to understand where you'd like to be and where you are today. And then it does take us 4 or 5 hours per report to show where you're likely headed, the dangers, opportunities, and strengths that you currently have. And then a part two or more holistic path is created where we say, these are the things you need to implement. These are the safeguards you need to put in place. These are the income strategies that are wise for you. And when these things are applied, we rerun the scenario and compare that more holistic path to your current path. The typical results are often a 30 to 50% jump in net spendable income, the assets lasting 7 to 10 years or longer compared to the current path, and taxes being reduced by 30 to 70% throughout your retirement. The Compass Report is complimentary for the first 7 today, as is David McKnight's great book called The Volatility Shield. 484-600-6512 or wealthmapradio.com to set up your own visit. See our calendar right there. 484-600-6512. Now buckle up, because in the second half, we're getting into case studies. Hang around.
Henry David Thoreau once said, "Wealth is the ability to fully experience life." Here on Wealth Map Radio, we couldn't agree more. Retirement is a journey, and the path is rarely straight. There are twists and turns, peaks and valleys, emotionally, mentally, physically, and of course, financially. That's why a Compass Report is so vital. It's the wealth map everyone needs to fully enjoy life in the golden years. At Whispering Brook Financial, people come first. When you meet with our team to begin your Compass Report, there's no preset outcome, no hidden agenda. Your goals become our mission, and we take that mission seriously. If you're serious and not just curious about your retirement, call us to get started on your Compass Report. 484-600-6512. That's 484-600-6512. The last thing anybody wants in retirement is dodging financial bullets. Yet the threats are real. Policy changes, tax risk, market volatility, rising healthcare costs. We can't guard against every risk, but one thing we've learned, predictability is more important than potential. We help create predictable income streams, shield you from looming tax increases, and build a plan grounded in lasting principles. Because when your retirement is built on tax-free income, you can't not live, life just feels better. You feel better. And studies show that when these principles are in place, people live longer, healthier, and more fully. So let your journey begin with your personalized compass report. Visit wealthmapradio.com or call 484-600-6512 to schedule your complimentary visit. At Whispering Brook Financial, we give you the tools for the most important journey, yours.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are now diving into the second half here on the Wealth Map Radio Show. We have spent the first half of the show going over five core principles of resilient retirement income planning. And let me put a few of these into action here with a case study. And what we're going to do is look at the traditional 60-40 portfolio of a stock and a bond mix, 60% stocks, 40% bonds. This is, if you've paid attention at all, read anything in the industry, the poster child for what you're supposed to be doing when you get into retirement, a 60-40, maybe a 50-50. The whole idea here does adhere to the principle that I have been talking about, that predictability is more valuable than potential, or, you know, to prioritize predictability ahead of possibility. While a portfolio of 100% equities long-term has a better so-called average return, the returns are much more inconsistent. This is very, very bad when you start to enter retirement. Therefore, so-called the gurus and the columnists and everyone who thinks they, tries to write and tell you what to do with your money says, okay, well, let's just add some bonds in there and it'll smooth out the returns and make sequence of return risk less of a risk. This generally happens. The concept being that if equities are really bad this year, at least you have 40 or 50% of the portfolio being buoyed up by bonds, interest, things like that, blah, blah, blah. Well, the problem here is that even bonds go negative. And if you have that double whammy happening to you, like in 2022, where the market was negative 19 or 20%, while bonds as a whole were negative 13%, what happened to the buffer? What happened to the bumper rails? That has happened multiple times throughout history. And so what I'd like to do is show you over the past 30 years since 1995, the actual market history of a 60-40 portfolio. We will assume that we take money out. We will, as withdrawals, we will assume a cost of living adjustment or inflation adjustment. And then what we'll do, and we'll see the results, then what we'll do is use a fixed index annuity as a bond replacement. Now, why that in this case? Well, first of all, fixed index annuities, while most of them can probably be wrapped up and tossed away, there are a few that are very client friendly, low to no fees, very low commissions, and do a wonderful job for the client and act as they were intended, which is a true fixed income alternative or a bond replacement. And they excuse a lot of the issues that bonds have in raising interest rate environments, lowering interest rate environments, all of those kind of things, largely are unaffected, or you are largely unaffected in FIAs when you have the right one. So hang in there with me. Let's first look at a 60-40 portfolio going back to 1995. Here we go. If we had $1 million, and I 500,000, 250, you know, 5 million, you can extrapolate from here for your own situation. If we had $1 million back in 1995, that was the beginning of the bull, a really big, you know, the dot-com era, 95 through 99, just amazing returns, right? In the equity side, decent in the bond side as well. So if we had $1 million 60-40 portfolio and we had no distributions being taken out whatsoever, after taxes and everything, the ups and the downs, et cetera, we would have ended through the end of last year, a full 30-year cycle, at $4.6 million. Okay, pretty cool. Now, what if we decided, hey, let's use the 4% rule. Let's go ahead and take out $40,000 a year. And what is the cost of living, or what's the inflation reading for that time period that 30-year period since 1995. Ironically, it is exactly 2.5%. Some years higher, some years lower. So we'll plug that in. We're going to take out $40,000 a year starting in 1995 and increase that by 2.5% per year. You with me? All right. We'll assume the tax rate is 20%, you know, between federal and state, nothing crazy. All right. So here we go. If we did that now, $40,000 increasing by 2.5% per year, at the end of last year, we would have been taking out $81,856 in income after all our inflation adjustments, so a little bit more than double where we started. Our $1 million starting balance would now be $1,047,000. Not too bad, all right? So I'm going to ask you to remember that, about a million. We started with a million. How much do we take out? Let's see. Over that 30 years, we took out $1.75 million and change, you know, so $1.75 million, and we essentially still have $1 million left over. Well, all in all, you might be saying, and I would agree, that doesn't sound too terrible. I mean, that's net of taxes, it's net of the returns, the ups, the downs. Seems like it does its job. All right. Let's look to the world of academia a little bit for some help. There have been numerous studies, peer-reviewed studies, published in financial journals, and other important research papers, white papers, etc., that contemplate the idea, complete with back testing and deep study into using fixed indexed annuities as an alternative to the bonds, because bonds are fixed income, CDs are fixed income, fixed index annuities and fixed annuities are fixed income. They fall into that asset class. Notably, Robert Ibbotson and Zebra Capital, BlackRock, Tom Hegna, Dr. Wade Fow of the Retirement Income Institute, and others have all published, TIAA CREF, have all published deep research papers that show how a fixed income annuity would perform in most environments in a superior manner to bonds. All right, so let's attack this real quick. Here, what we're going to do, instead of a 40% allocation to bonds, we'll do a 40% allocation to a very client-friendly annuity. This one gets 70% of the upward movement of the market and none of the downward movement of the market. So if the market goes up by 10%, you get 7. If the market goes up by 20, you get 14. If the market goes down by 30%, you do not go down at all. You lock in all previous year's gains up to that point and enter preservation mode, and you have a floor or a bumper rail of 0%, meaning you can never do worse than zero. So let's have 40% of the portfolio in that guaranteed contract and 60% still in the market. In this case, we're using the S&P 500. Watch this. If we, in our first scenario, we did not take anything out, right? We'll just say, what if we bought, held, and prayed it worked out? So $1 million in 1995 through the end of last year, no withdrawals, $4.6 million in the 60-40 stock bond model. Remember that? What is the ending balance as of last year for the stock annuity model? $8.4 million. It is a differential of $3.8 million and change to the positive for you. All right, well, let's rewind, and now let's do our $40,000 a year withdrawal, the 4% rule, starting in 1995. We will again inflate the withdrawals by 2.5% per year as we go. The 60-40 stock bond model ended with about $1 million, a little more than we started, $1,047,000 and change. The stock FIA model in a 60-40 allocation, using FIA as a bond replacement, ends the day with $3.1 million. Almost 3.1. That is a differential, all told, of $2,044,000 to the positive to you. this lines up, and there are many ways to look at this, but this lines up significantly with the academic research by those who have nothing to do with money management that are just deep research. This is a bond replacement model. There is a reason that academics, economists, think tanks, and large money managers like BlackRock, who don't have annuities at all, but do research and find that the right ones that are client-friendly make a huge difference in the effectiveness of the portfolio itself. All right, now, we're going to get into this a little more, but here's what I want to do. If you're one of the first seven today to call and set up a visit with us, see, we're talking about resilient retirement income planning, how to get more out of your money, how to lessen risk, how to have higher income, how to have, well, less stress and worry and more confidence and clarity. If you're one of the first seven today to call in and set up a free visit with us, we will do your compass report complimentary. And whether or not what I just went through makes sense for you isn't really the point. Every compass report is unique. No two are the same because you are not the same as your neighbor or your brother or your parents were. Your compass report is unique and tailored to your needs. And we have a motto that we follow, which is let the math dictate. I think that's what you would want from a financial firm. I think that's what you would want from those who are serving you, is unapologetically let the math dictate. It is also, ladies and gentlemen, to be very frank, what we ask of you as we do planning that is meaningful, robust, and verifiable. 484-600-6512 is the number, 484-600-6512. When you are one of the first seven to set up that visit with us, we will also give you a free copy of David McKnight's great book on this topic, on resilient retirement income planning, called The Volatility Shield. You can also visit us at wealthmapradio.com or 484-600-6512. All right, well, let's look at it this way. Now, if we're looking at the 60-40 equity bond or stock bond model versus a 60-40 stock annuity model or FIA model, what if this? Let's ask a question. We know that if we took out $40,000 a year starting from 1995 from our $1 million starting balance, increasing that withdrawal by 2.5% a year to help keep up with inflation, if we did the traditional 60-40 model, we'd have about $1 million left over. Start with $1 million, take out $1.75 million of withdrawals, still have $1 million left. But if we used the FIA, the fixed index annuity, in place of bonds, so we still have the equities or stocks and 60%, 40% now in the income annuity, we end up with $3 million at the end, with the same income being withdrawn, just a tripling of the ending balance. So here's my question. What would we have to lower the starting amount to from the equity bond side in order to also have the same ending balance of $3 million for the stock annuity model? Let's find out. Instead of starting with a $40,000 withdrawal back in 1995, we would have to lower that starting year one withdrawal to $17,077. And that would increase by 2.5% a year, such that the end of last year, 2024, we would see that income have grown to $34,946. This allows us to have the same ending balance of nearly $3.1 million in the equity bond model compared to the ending balance of the stock annuity model. Now, on the stock annuity model, the 60-40 stock, 60-40 the annuity, we still get to start with $40,000 and inflate it by 2.5%. The equity bond model, stock bond model, would have to start with $17,000 instead. If we were trying to match the same ending balance that the stock and annuity model achieves. In other words, you must reduce your starting income amount by over 57% if you chose to use the stock and bond model instead of the stock annuity model. Can you start to see why academics, PhDs, think tanks, research companies, and organizations are finding what they are finding? Now, we could care less what the vehicle is. If there's something that outperforms the stock annuity model, fantastic. Let's have it. Let's find out what your Compass report might reveal for you. You can set up your own visit at wealthmapradio.com. See our calendar. Read a little bit more, too, about the Compass report and about the team at Whispering Brook Financial. 484-600-6512. Unapologetically, let the math guide. Let's go the other way for a second. Let's say we wanted to increase the income from the stock annuity 60-40 blend so that we have the same ending balance as the equity or the stock bond model. So stock bond model has an ending balance. If we started with 40,000, increase it by 2.5% a year, yada, yada, yada. So resetting things. Has an ending balance at the end of last year of just over $1 million, $1,047,000. Let's say we were fine with that ending balance, right? After all, if we started with $1 million and ended with $1 million after 30 years, maybe we feel okay about that, especially having taken out $40,000 per year and adjusting it for inflation along the way. But here's the question. We know that the stock annuity model in that past 30-year period with the parameters I'm talking about, which exist, these are real parameters, outperforms it three times better than the ending balance, roughly. So let's ask a different question. How much more income could I have taken from the stock annuity model instead of starting with $40,000 a year and increasing it by 2.5%? What could I have started with and still have the same ending balance that the stock bond model produces? Let's see that. Answer. You could start with $50,342 in 1995, increasing that by 2.5% per year, rather than only starting with $40,000 like in the stock bond model and have the same ending balance. That would have given you over that 30-year period an additional $454,000 of retirement income. Ladies and gentlemen, you want to increase your retirement income? Build a better resilient retirement income plan. Build one that is resilient. Build one that follows the principles that we talked about, that values predictability over potential, or the way we said it earlier, prioritizes predictability over possibility. This is a superior income generator, this model. So we can ask the question, okay, well, that's a 60-40 mix. What if we did a 50-50 mix? What's the answer then? This time on the stock annuity model, we could have started with $53,600 instead of $40,000, like on the stock bond model, and still had the same ending balance on both sides at the end of 30 years. That is an additional, in this time around, nearly $600,000 of additional income for the stock annuity model over the stock and bond model. What about the compound annual growth rate over that period of time, since 1995 to the end of last year? The 60-40 stock bond model has an what's called an actual return, the compound annual growth rate, of 7.15%. The stock annuity model has a compound annual growth rate of 9.39%. And yes, in both cases, after tax, after any fees, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The predictability and consistency of returns is increased. The risk is minimized and decreased. And the income generation, or income production, rather, is massively increased. All right. Well, look, I think you get it. I mean, we can assume an 11-year period, a 15-year period, a 44-year period. We can go over any time period and model it. The point we want to bring to you today is not stock, bond, or stock annuity model better, worse. It's that the type of planning we do is unemotional and resilient. And whatever the answer is in your case is the answer. We don't care where it leads, and neither can you, if you want the best outcome. And by best outcome, I am talking about less stress and worry, more confidence and clarity. In real dollars and cents, it means a better retirement. The golden shines a little bit longer. You have more money if catastrophes do happen and come your way. You have more cushion and resilience to overcome them. You freed up more money to do other things that are more important to you than staring at a doggone IRA statement or something like that. That is what a Compass report is designed to do and deliver. 484-600-6512. Be one of the first seven today. Let us give you a complimentary copy of a great book called The Volatility Shield just for coming in to visit with us, and get your Compass report started and done. 484-600-6512 or wealthmapradio.com. I do want to do a hard shift right now, and this is going to be a little bit jarring, for which I apologize, but I feel a bit compelled to talk about an unpleasant topic that kind of makes a lot of people uncomfortable. The fact here is that we have 12,000 people a day turning 65. The youngest baby boomers are turning 61, and the oldest baby boomers are turning 79. There is something out there in the retirement demographic discussion called the silver tsunami, and this is a term that's used. We've used it here on the show many times. The silver tsunami is the wave of baby boomers that will need long-term care, that already have started to hit it or will, but it will start to become a tidal wave. And for those of you who are out there who are in this age demographic or even older, I know you know what I'm talking about, that this is a reality that the baby boomer generation is facing and will continue to face for many years to come. Long-term care is poised to, it is the greatest growth area in the healthcare sector by far, but how many people per day are estimated to enter some form of long-term care over the next 5 years? Let's look at that statistic. On the low side, it is estimated that 2,740 baby boomers per day will enter some form of long-term care. Now, long-term care happens in the home. It happens at assisted facilities. It happens in full-time facilities. So I understand the statistic that about 2,740 people per day over the next 5 years will engage in some form of long-term care as we age. That is the silver tsunami. That's about 1 million per year, and that is on the low side of the estimate. What can we do to prepare for it? Many people believe that Medicare covers it. It does not. Covers the first 91 days, and then you're out of luck. Many people believe they'll be fine by going the route of Medicaid. Medicaid, after you have destituted yourself, will help pay. But it is a minimum amount, and it is toward facilities that you would probably choose not to be in most of the time. Or if you go to a facility that is great, chances are you're going to be covering a pretty penny of it that Medicaid doesn't. Oh, but wait. If you're on Medicaid, you've destituted yourself, so you can't. So that is a plan of last resort. The old method was just buy a plan of $500, $700, $800 a month between you and your spouse of insurance, and my gosh, it's great if you need it. But if you don't need it because you paid for it for 20 years and died peacefully in your sleep, you roll over in your grave knowing you paid 10, 20 years of premiums for something you didn't use. That's the use it or lose it model. Happily, that model is largely dead thanks to new innovations in the coverage world. Instead, what people are doing are called hybrid long-term care models. Now, listen to this. Many people have money in CDs, money market accounts, even just IRAs or whatever set aside, or just in case. But that money can be better employed inside of a hybrid model long-term care plan that, number one, still allows you to have access to your money. Like, say it was in a portfolio of CDs or something like that, right? Well, okay, you're creating taxable interest, but it's there. You know you can get it. Cool. If you put it inside of a hybrid policy, you still get a rate of return that is now tax deferred instead of taxable. So that's a benefit. And whatever money you put into this hybrid long-term care plan usually is triple or even more what you put in if you needed long-term care benefits. For example, say I had $200,000 sitting around in CDs. I want the money liquid. I put it into a hybrid long-term care policy. Can I get my $200,000 if I absolutely needed to? Yeah, I can. But while it's there, it creates $600,000 of tax-free benefit for long-term care if I need it. And it creates a $400,000 death benefit if I pass away. So now, am I better off if I don't have a claim having done this? Yes, I am, because I'm earning tax-deferred interest instead of taxable, and I can still get the money. Am I better off if I die in my sleep having never used it? Well, my heirs are, because instead of inheriting only $200,000, they inherit $400,000 tax-free. Am I better off if I have a claim? Absolutely, because I have $600,000 of total benefits tax-free, specifically for long-term care, if I needed it. That is an answer to many of the silver tsunami questions. And the reason I felt compelled to bring it up is because we are seeing it before our very eyes happen and start to hit some of our oldest clients. Those that have listened, those that are prepared, have no concerns. They know they are prepared and they are at peace because of it. Part of this is being prepared for all facets of life. Yes, the portfolio management is important, the tax planning, the risk mitigation, which is part of this long-term care planning we've been talking about, the estate planning, all of that is important and part of a comprehensive Compass report. 484-600-6512 or wealthmapradio.com. If you're one of the first seven today, we give you a book great on this topic called The Volatility Shield by David McKnight. And we also do your Compass report complimentary. 484-600-6512 or wealthmapradio.com. Don't forget to follow the Wealth Map Radio podcast. See you next time.
Wealth Map Radio is an independent production of West Springbrook Financial. The services of voiceover professionals are often used for this production. Such professionals are not licensed financial professionals. Case studies and example share may be materially different than your own situation and are often dramatized for entertainment value. No solicitation of any security or investment is made or implied. Consult with independent financial, tax, and legal advisors before implementing any strategy. Neither Steve Eckroth nor West Springbrook Financial are endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any government agency. More information is available by visiting Wealth Map Radio or by calling 484-600-6512.